Welcome to another message from Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information on Bridge, go to our website at bridgehelena.com. It is our prayer that this message will help you to connect with God, connect with others, and connect others with God.
Do you?
Woo!
Whoa! Do you know who he is? Because that's the point of everything, isn't it? It's not just being a Christian serving an unknown God, right? That's what other religions are all about. Being a Christian means you know Jesus. You know him. You have a relationship, a close personal relationship with him. And within that knowing him comes the confidence that a song like this sings about. We can be confident in who God is. Therefore, we can be confident in who we are. I'm telling you, we live in a society now where people don't know who they are, right? We have a country, a world who doesn't know who it is. But in Jesus, he becomes our identity. He becomes who we are. So we got to know him, guys. We got to know him. Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you so much that in your plan, there was relationship. Lord God, in your plan, there was a togetherness. In your plan, there was an ability to know our Creator. The creation, knowing the Creator, what a wonderful, wonderful idea. What a wonderful story that is. So, Father, thank you for that. Jesus, you came here. You came to this world. You walked this world so that we could know you more. And you broke everything. You busted open every door when you hung upon that cross. And you broke the penalty of sin and death. And that gives us the ability to know the Father through the Son by way of the Holy Spirit. What a perfect plan that is. So, Lord, today we seek to get to know you better. And knowing you is convening with you. But knowing you is having a conversation with you. And Lord, if that be through worship, so be it. If that be through prayer time, so be it. If that be through revelation of the word, so be it. But Lord, I believe it's all of those things. Help us to carry a conversation with you all day long. Help us to seek guidance from you. May you be the first place that we turn. And let us walk in this crazy world like we truly have confidence in you, Jesus. Help us. Help us to do that. We're so wishy-washy as Christians sometimes, but Lord God, that's not our desire. And we know that's not your desire. So Lord God, we accept everything you have for us today. We pray this in the mighty name of our King and Savior, Jesus Christ. And everyone shout it out. Amen. You guys can be seated. How is everybody doing this morning? You know, it doesn't seem like that long ago where I'd have to get to the church early and I'd have to open up all the doors and windows to try to cool it down in here, to try to let that cool morning air in, because I knew by 10 o'clock or noon, boy, it'd be maybe in the 70s or 80s. That doesn't seem like that long ago. And now it's something very different, isn't it? But we'll get through it. I've told a couple of people, my goodness, if what we're having right now lasts all the way to April, oh, Lord, that's going to be a hard one. But we'll get through it. Kids, you guys can be dismissed. Kids, that's you in the front row. You guys can go. Oh, yeah, listen to Bruce and Debbie a little better than me. We got a couple quick announcements, just a few. We've had so much going on the last several months, so we don't have as much going on, and that's okay. First announcement is the ladies' luncheon is tomorrow at noon at Shelley's restaurant, diner, what do you call it, cafe? Whatever. So ladies, noon tomorrow, Shelley's, please go. There's always fellowship, there's a speaker, all that good stuff. And then West of 50s, let's hear it for West of 50s. That will be November 20th, right after church, right after the service is done, west of 50th. We'll head downstairs. They're going to do a potato and salad bar, both. I mean, that's the deluxe version. So potato and salad bar. The information is in the bulletin. Bring your favorite potato toppings or your favorite salad. And if you've not been there before, try it out and meet new people and get connected. And then really finally for announcements today, the last announcement will be, we are still doing last Sundays this month. Even though we're going to have Thanksgiving, we're still going to do last Sundays. And I figure it's a great way to get rid of all those leftover turkey pieces that nobody wanted. So you just take all of those and you throw them in a casserole and you bring them to last Sunday. So that'll be November 27th, right after service. Love the last Sunday so far. They've been great. Just a great time to get together and to, again, meet new people or get connected within that. Wednesday night stuff is obviously still going on, and we just finished the series that we were on for the adult class, the person of interest. That was just an amazing class. I learned so much about the law enforcement process of chasing down a killer and things like that. But I also learned about Jesus. So that was a great class. But we start a new one this Wednesday, and it's going to be a great one. It's going to be looking really how Christianity has affected our country from Columbus to really through the Constitution and up until modern day. So that'll be another good one because it's all about Jesus, isn't it? And of course, we got kids and youth going on as well. So if you have not attended a Wednesday night, do it. Try it out. If you have, but you haven't been coming, well, this is a great time to start because we are starting the new class. If you had been coming to Wednesday nights, but the weather got a little weird this last Wednesday and you don't know who done it, well, then you just missed out. Maybe if you ask Dave really nice, he'll tell you who they finally, but maybe not. You never know. That's what happens when you miss things. I'm so glad you're here today and you're not going to miss what we're doing today. All right, four ways to give, of course, like always. We worship, again, through our tithes, our offerings. We just yield our finances, and really not our financial responsibility, because we are stewardships of what God gives us, but we yield that greed and that ownership that we can sometimes place on finances. And it's a simple way to do it. You just give through tithes and offerings. So you can give online at bridgehelena.com. You can text the amount to 84321. Of course, the giving boxes are always popular, or you can mail it here to the office at 725 Granite Avenue. Any of those ways are amazing. If you've never done it, if you haven't been an ongoing, like committed every week, every month type of giver, I cannot suggest any more to try it out and just to see what that does. It's the same with prayer and worship and all of those things. Reading the word, it's that commitment to that. All right, you guys ready to roll?
Yes.
Quick announcement, so let's just jump right in. Let's pray before we get started into the teaching. Father, thank you so much that we can gather here today. Lord God, not even weather keeps us away, Lord God. And Lord God, that's such a good sign, because in the days forward, Lord, it may get harder to get to church for reasons other than weather and snow and ice and things like that. But Lord God, we hold strong to you, and we have a commitment and a desire to be here this morning. So Lord God, I ask that you bless this time. Bless each person that came here today, Lord God. Everybody online, Lord God, bless them too. As Charlie would say, I guess. That's a little joke we have. But Lord God, we look to you. We ask for your conviction. We ask for your movement. We ask that you challenge us. Lord God, we don't want to be nominal Christians that just simply follow you with words. But Lord God, let our actions reflect the depth of our relationship with you. Holy Spirit, allow me to speak those things that you desire me to, and shut my mouth with everything else. And once again, like always, I pray that no one leaves these front doors, nobody exits this building the same way that they came in. So, Lord God, we give you rule and reign to have your way in this service, but also personally within each one of us. We pray this, of course, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Well, we're still on our series. And yes, people joke about my series that they tend to be long series. But there's so much in the Bible that we can learn from. So we're just going to continue. We're on part 12 today. That means we're on principle number 11. And as we continue with this series called It's Time to Acts, today really might be the most basic, the most fundamental, and really the most important principle that we look at. And we've looked at some great principles, so that's a big statement right there. And when I tell you what this principle is, most of you in here are just gonna say, well, duh, Pastor. Of course it is, really? Duh, come on. You know, we're a little bit further than this, right? But we're never further than what the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us. See, this is the number one principle that within its really its simplistic beauty, we can tend to disregard it, we can overlook it. Sometimes we can ignore it. Sometimes we can simply forget. Because after all, we're a busy bunch, aren't we? We're just so busy. We're just so busy doing all sorts of things, and we all have a lot going on. Interestingly enough, Principle 11 takes, I'm going to say it takes the most discipline and the most diligence out of all the principles. That's corporately, and that's also personally. And before we look at this principle, let's quickly look at where we have been over the last 10 weeks, over the last 10 principles. And this is important because principle 11 is the catalyst that each and every principle must have in order to progress and succeed. So let's take a look at where we've been. In case you've missed, in case you've forgotten, principle number one, gathering together pushes and propels kingdom movement. We believe that, don't we? That's why we're here this morning. We believe gathering together accomplishes these things. Principle number two, the body must devote itself to the essentials of faith. You got to do that. You got to have principle. You got to have foundation. Principle number three, the church is equipped to operate in boldness, courage, and power, just like the confidence that we were singing about in that last song. When we have confidence, we understand boldness, courage, and power. We're supposed to walk in that. It's so easy not to. We get fearful, but we're supposed to walk in that. Principle number four, the standard of holiness must be upheld, right? There's a reverence to God. There's a holiness there that we need to hold high in our personal lives, but especially in our corporate worship. This church will regard Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior above all. We will maintain that standard of holiness. We will uphold that. Principle number five, we are to extend impartial and unbiased compassion to all. Do you believe it? Oh, that one gets a little harder, right? Because we all have mindsets and hurts and things like that. All right, principle number six. Faith worth believing in is a faith worth standing for, right? Despite anything at all. Principle number seven is piggybacked off that. The church must function amid persecution. That's going on all over the world, right? All over the world, persecution exists very differently than how we perceive persecution here in the United States. But I believe we are getting closer to the world's persecution than the world's persecution is getting to us, right? Things are not going to get easier. They are going to get harder. They're going to get rougher. Principle number eight, obedience opens ongoing opportunities. What a great one. That was the O principle, and that was Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, and just this idea that we don't quite know who we're talking to right now. That divine opportunity that God has placed in our life, we don't know where that will lead. We just have confidence that it's going to lead to somewhere amazing. Principle number nine, no one is ever too far gone. And everybody's favorite word, irregardless. No one is ever too far gone, irregardless. That's another hard one that we got to rationalize within ourselves, because There's people in our lives sometime where we just think they're just too far gone. And unfortunately, sometimes that person can be us. We feel like a past mistake has put us too far away from the saving grace of God. And that is just simply not true. So no one is ever too far gone. And then, of course, last week, principle number 10, the church is for all people. Yeah. It's for all people. And again, that can be challenging, especially when we get comfortable in our churches, right? I like where I sit. I like the people that I see. I like this and that. And if more people start coming in, might that change? Yeah, that could change things. But we got to understand, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Everybody is welcomed into this church. And we ended last week by simply saying that though they are welcome, we welcome everybody. We don't desire that people stay where they're at, right? We believe Jesus is the one that sets us free and changes everything. So we have to speak truth and we have to love, and that has to come together. Now, all 10 of these are some great principles, aren't they? They're basic, they're foundational, they're so solid in their doctrine and in their theology. Principles that when applied and followed, create a healthy church environment corporately. They do. They can't not. If we follow just those 10 principles, we're going to have a healthy church environment. But they also provide a healthy faith in us personally, because it causes us to reevaluate and change. And if we follow these principles, these 10 principles so far, we're drawing up just a little bit closer to Jesus. Right? We're saying, man, I'm going to do what the early church did. And the early church did what Jesus wanted them to do. So we leapfrog the early church and we're just doing what God wants us to do. Now the opportunity is, as a church, as followers of Christ, they're endless when we focus on and make these principles our own. The opportunities are endless. There is no ceiling. There is no time that we as followers of Christ we're not going to get to a point in our faith and be like, oh, we're there. Here we are. We've done everything. There's no more, there's nothing else to do. There's nobody else to reach, right? No. We can just keep going. God just keeps strengthening us. He keeps empowering us. It just keeps growing and growing and growing if we are diligent in pursuing these principles. Do you guys believe that? We never arrive until we arrive in heaven, right? We're never there until we're there. Okay, so while we're here, it doesn't matter what age you are. It doesn't matter what your abilities you have. God is always saying, no, it's not done yet. I still got a job for you. I still got a job for you. You never retire and kick back. You know, in our faith, we don't store up a 401k that we can coast on later in life. It doesn't exist. Boy, half the people's 401ks don't exist anyway. But it doesn't exist when it comes to our faith. And now, yet now we come to principle number 11. Principle number 11. And with it, it carries the weight of all these principles, and has the ability to really make or break each one of them. It is not the only, it is the only one word principle that we will have in this entire series. It's a one word principle, and I bet most of you have already guessed what it is by now. Let's hope so. Maybe you haven't. Let's look at principle number 11. What is it? It's prayer. Like I said, duh, Pastor. Really? We're just now getting to prayer, but it's important. It's. I was explaining in the board meeting this week, I'd like to take credit for the organization and these principles and everything, but instead of doing that, I was so looking for and following the Holy Spirit that it makes me look like I'm super organized, and you'll understand by the end of the service why, but it wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit orchestrating all of this. So I would rather people say, man, he listens to the Holy Spirit, than they say, oh, he's really smart or he's really organized. Right. Now we can have both, and we should seek both. But when God opened this up to me, it just blew my mind. So principle number 11 is prayer. And like I said, this one is simplistic in its beauty, but it's boundless in its application. Shouldn't we just describe prayer like that? Hey, what does prayer mean to you? Well, it means that it's simplistic in its beauty, but it's boundless in its application. So let's take a look at a few or more than a few examples from the book of Acts. This is the early church. We're going to just run through these. If you want to mark them down, write them down, take a picture, but we're going to kind of just run through these pretty quick. The first one is Acts 1:14. All these, with one mind and one purpose, were continually devoting themselves to prayer, waiting together along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Let's go to that next one. Acts 2:42. They were continually and faithfully devoting themselves to the instruction of the apostles and to fellowship, to eating meals together, and to prayers. Flip it. We'll just keep going. Acts 3:1. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, 3 p.m. Let's keep going. 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were meeting together was shaken, a sign of God's presence. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the words of God with boldness and courage. Acts 6:4, but we will continue to devote ourselves steadfastly to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Let's go. 8:15, they came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. 10:9, the next day as they were on their way and were approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof of the house about the sixth hour, noon, to pray. We looked at that one last week. 12:5, so Peter was kept in prison, but fervent and persistent prayer for him was being made to God by the church. And the last one, then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them in approval and dedication and sent them away on their first journey. That's not all of them. That's not even all of them in this book of Acts, but that's kind of where we've come up to. So do you get the picture here? You kind of get the picture when you read the book of Acts that it's like, wow, there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on because there's a lot of prayer going on. See, for the early church, prayer was not something that they did. They didn't have to make time for prayer. I guess we should pray. Hey, has anybody prayed yet? You know, those type of things. Hey, maybe we should seek the Lord. That wasn't going on because prayer was really who they were. For them, it was all about prayer. They didn't want to make a move without prayer. And it was led by example, right? Because it was the apostles that were spurring on and leading this church movement. These were the apostles that received directly from Jesus while he walked this earth. They were the ones that stuck close to them. They watched Jesus. Jesus was their example. Jesus was their example on how to pray. So when Jesus ascended, and now Jesus isn't here anymore, what was their natural inclination was to pray. They wanted to continue to convene with Jesus. Something that maybe we've lost a little bit of. The difference between how the early church prayed and how often they prayed and how the modern day church prays is dramatically different. Now, when we planted everyone's church in Lawrence, we didn't have a whole lot. And I say that, and it's like, man, we didn't have anything. We didn't have much of a church budget. Right? It wasn't like, oh yeah, look at our bank account. This is very secure and safe here. We didn't have a building. We didn't have a bunch of fancy equipment. We didn't even have but a handful of people. So to say prayer was necessary would really be a gross understatement here. Because our very existence as a church was directly dependent upon our prayer. See, without prayer, we would have had no money to rent the train depot, right? Money wasn't growing on trees. We had decided early on that we wouldn't rob a bank or anything because we thought that would send a wrong message. So instead, what we did was pray. And we just asked God, hey, will you provide for us? Could you provide money to rent the train depot? And without prayer, really, we would have had no reason to rent the train depot because no one would have come. So not only did we have to pray for resources, we had to pray for people. We had to pray for opportunities to invite people. And as I look back on that and how chaotic that was and how there was just so much, what's going to happen next week? How are we going to be able to rent the depot? Will we have enough money? Is anybody going to show up? As I look back on that, I realized that it felt so early churchy. Right, it felt so early churchy, and God bless what God has done here and everything. But sometimes when we have a bank account that has money in it, when we know that hey, people are going to come, we've got faithful people that are going to come Sunday. 3 feet of snow, it doesn't matter. We don't have to rent a building. We've got enough equipment and all those things. Sometimes I look at this and say, well, is this too easy? Maybe it is. And I don't want hardship by any means. But when you have to pray, like your life depends upon it, like your ministry depends upon it, you take a different mindset. Yeah. You make room for prayer. When you don't have those situations and those challenges, sometimes we make room for other things, right? So we can get a little comfortable, can't we? So back then it was great, it was intimidating, and it was all of those things at the same time. But do you know what? You know what happened? We saw God do some amazing things. We really did, and we never couldn't rent the train depot, and we never couldn't afford to buy new equipment, and we never had a service where nobody showed up. People just kept showing up, of all different kinds of people. And as I look back on that, I realize now how much we were following and living out the principles that we find in the book of Acts. So seeing God do amazing things is pretty amazing. But aligning ourselves with God through prayer is even more amazing. And that's why principle number 11 only needs the one word, right? It only needs the word prayer. Now, this might be a bit basic for some of you. Today's message might be a little bit basic because, after all, we're Christians and we know we're supposed to pray. So just kick back, and if you're in that camp, let it serve as a reminder. For the rest of us, let it serve as an encouraging challenge. And you like that? That's like sugarcoating a challenge. This is an encouraging challenge. It's encouraging, but let me tell you, it's a challenge. See, prayer is simply our communication with God. That's all it is. Too often prayers have been maybe changed over into something that maybe God didn't intend them to be, right? Hey, memorize this and just pray this and you'll be good. But that's not really a communication with God. That's just reciting something from memory. When we talk to God, God always listens. And when God talks back, we need to listen, right? Not really equal streets there. God will always listen to us, but we have to make a choice to listen to him. And that all comes together in prayer. Now, Jesus gave us an outline on how to pray in Matthew 6:9, right? It's called the Lord's Prayer. And some people have mistakenly thought, well, that's the Lord's Prayer. That's what I can memorize, and I'll just pray that over and over and over, and it'll take care of everything. And God's saying, no, I want a personal communication with you. But Matthew 6:9 is a wonderful outline. and it teaches us how to pray, and it's a springboard right into our prayer life. And you take that, though, and you can get too focused in and stuck on that. As with anything, we need balance. We need to understand that there really is no wrong way to pray, right? There really isn't a wrong way to pray. See, it's less about how we approach God and more that we simply approach God. So you don't have to go to a certain place to pray. You don't have to face a certain direction to pray. We don't have to face east to pray, do we? We can pray however we want. You know, we don't even have to assume a position to pray, right? We don't have to get on our knees, though we can. We don't have to come to the altar, though we can. God is just saying, it's less about that and more about us, right? And that's a beautiful thing. See, sometimes I set aside prayer times, and it looks very much like Matthew 6, 9. I will use that as an outline. It's like, okay, I'm going to exalt God first, and then I'm going to go through and I'm going to make sure everything's right. But it's taking his example and then exploding it and making it more broad. And that's a wonderful thing. And I like setting aside those prayer times and having it look like that. But there are other times where the urgency of prayer may cause me to only pray a few pointed or specific words. You guys ever been there? I bet you have. It could be, man, you're at work, right? At your workplace, and something's going down, and there's people that are just being nasty, or there's tension and everything, and it's like you got somebody walking towards you, and you can tell this is not going to go good, and you don't have time to go through the model of Jesus's prayer, right? You just don't have time, and maybe you can only get out a quick sentence. There's that urgency, or maybe it's a car accident, or maybe it's a sickness or whatever, and it's just like, I just don't have time. I got to get these specific words out. That's not a wrong way to pray. Sometimes my prayers are born out of a situation of hurt or of fear or of anger, right? You ever been there where it's like, man, I'm angry right now. I just need to pray. And in those moments, you're so angry that all you can do is call out to Jesus, or you're so scared, right? There's something in your life and you're fearful of that in that moment. And all you can do is say, Jesus, give me the faith to stand in the courage and the confidence that you have for me. And that's all you can get out. And sometimes we're just hurting. It could be the loss of somebody. It could be how somebody treated you. And the pain is there, and it's so intense. And really, you just need the comfort of Jesus. And it's like, Jesus, I need you right now. Speak to me. Help me to understand. Hold me tight and things like that. That's not a wrong way to pray. Not at all. And at other times, we pray, and it's out of thankfulness, right? And awe. Have you ever just been simply in awe of Jesus? And you just want to say, oh, that's my God. That God, that's amazing. I am in awe of you right now. And there's other times where you're so thankful. You look around. You see what's going on. Maybe God answered a prayer. Maybe it's just general. It's just like, my goodness, God, I feel an overwhelming thankfulness in my life. Thank you so much. And all you want to do is thank God. And people are going, well, I thought prayer was about asking for something. I said, no, that isn't what it's about. Part of it. Sometimes I just want to get before God and just have a thankful heart. See, I can have my prayer agenda, right? You know, I write down, oh, Holy Spirit brought somebody to mind. I'm going to write it down. I can pray for them in this instant, but I'm going to pray for them at my time that I've set aside. So I have my prayer agenda, and it's a list of people or situations to pray for. Or my prayer can simply flow out of worship. I hope that happened this morning. Just like, man, we're worshiping God. This song is so good. The words of this song, I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. How can I not just deviate from the song and pray. And sometimes you're in your car and you're listening to worship music, or maybe it's in your house and you're alone, or in the shower or whatever, and you're singing. Oh, you're singing at the top of your lungs, and it's awesome. And half of you can't sing very well, but God doesn't care. And you're just making that joyful noise. And out of that, you just got to start loving on God. You just got to start talking to God. That's prayer. And that's important. So the Holy Spirit can really prompt us to pray in a general way, right? Or also in a very specific way. Sometimes the Holy Spirit just says, hey, pray for this. And it's like, wow, that is so big. Lord, I pray for the world. I pray for the people that live in darkness of this world to come to you. That's pretty general. But at other times, the Holy Spirit's incredibly specific. Like crazy specific. And it's like, I have no idea why I need to pray for this situation or this person. But I'm going to do it. And sometimes with that comes that urgency, right? That intercessory urgency that says, and I got to do it right now. I'll put it on my list. I'll pray later, but I got to do it right now. You ever be driving and you see an ambulance or you see a car wreck, and man, the Holy Spirit just prompts you to pray for that situation, for that people? Have you ever been in a situation where there's somebody in your life that you may not care for very much, and the Holy Spirit prompts you to pray for that person? Not always easy, but it's the Holy Spirit prompting you to do that, and you have to make that choice. It is God's intention that our prayer is to know no bounds, to know no limitations, and to know no time constraints. Do you guys believe that? This idea that it's like, well, if you pray before meals and a quick prayer, as I lay my down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. That's enough, right? You've met the minimum requirement, right? But God doesn't look at it that way. There's not a minimum requirement. There's a God that we serve that has a desire that goes much beyond that. See, to God, nothing is too big. Believe it? Amen. But to God, nothing is too small. Right. You believe it? Amen. See, prayer isn't just for the ask, the petition, but it's all about the conversation and the companionship with the Lord. That's what he is seeking, and that's what he is desiring. We're not waiting in line to climb up on Santa's lap to tell him everything we need, and then to walk out of there expecting it to happen just like that. Rather, God is saying, hey, let's spend time together. Let's just convene. Let's just hang out. Tell me about your day. I want to hear about it. What are you going through? What are you fearful of now? What are you angry about? All of those things. And God's asking us those questions, but we're saying, God, we can get to that later because I just am thankful. I just want to talk to you. I just want to be with you. And now we add into this idea of corporate prayer, right? Corporate prayer. And I think maybe the best definition for corporate prayer is found in Matthew 18:20. For wherever two or three are gathered in my name, meeting together as my followers, I am there among them. That's corporate prayer right there, right? That's God saying, hey, corporately is two, corporately is three, corporately is 100, corporately is 10,000. And God just, he says some really great things here. It's like, man, you're gathered in my name. You're meeting together as my followers. And I'm among you in these situations. So very much personal prayer is important, but very much corporate prayer is also important. That's why we pray at the beginning before we start worship. That's why right after worship we pray again. That's why before I start my message we pray again. That's why at the end of service we pray again. That's why we have prayer teams in the back. That's why we encourage altar time and to get prayer up here. We are a church that believes in prayer. If you ever attend a service and you think, boy, they just don't pray much here, probably take that into account and evaluate that and say, they're not adhering to principle number 11 that holds everything together. maybe I should reevaluate my decision in this and that. You got to attend a Bible-believing church that believes in the power of prayer. Because principle 11 really does hold everything together. But not only that, it propels everything. So God's not sitting here saying, hey, I just want to hold everything together because the world's getting crazy. Let's just try to keep it together. So pray that everything gets held together until I return. God's mentality is I'm going to hold it all together while I propel you into this world to make a difference. And you're going to make a difference through prayer. It's effective and it's powerful. It's a different kind of message, isn't it? This is just that, yeah, we've heard all this before, haven't we? Sort of, sometimes, kind of. But I would say it's a pretty good reminder. The prayer is a vital part of our faith. And don't take my word for it. In fact, don't take my word for anything if it doesn't expand and reflect Scripture. Because what really matters is what we find in Scripture. Check this out. This is just random Bible facts, right? There are 650 prayers listed in the Bible. How many books in the Bible? How many? 66 books in the Bible. There's 650 prayers. Not that it always does this, because some books are shorter and some books are longer, but that averages out to about, what, 10 prayers per book. That's pretty good. That's pretty encouraging. There are approximately 450 recorded answers to prayer in the Bible. So it's like 450 recorded answered prayers. That's confirmation that God listens and that God acts. Now, sometimes we pray things and God's response isn't the way we think it should. Doesn't look exactly like the way we would like it to, but that doesn't mean he's not answering prayer. The Bible records Jesus praying 25 different times during his earthly ministry. And that's just record, because we know that Jesus was praying all the time, right? But these are those specific prayers that we can learn from. 25 different times they're written down, they're recorded. Paul mentions prayer 41 different times. Maybe we should listen to what Paul is talking about when it comes to prayer. And the Bible is full of examples of prayer. There's the prayer of faith. That's in James 5:15. There's a prayer of agreement or corporate prayer. That's Acts 2:42. There's prayer of request, petition, or supplication. That's Philippians 4:6. There's a prayer of thanksgiving, Psalms 95:2 and 3. There's a prayer of worship, Acts 13:2 and 3. There's a prayer of consecration or dedication, Matthew 26:39. There's a prayer of intercession, 1 Timothy 2:1. There's a prayer of protection, Psalms 91. There's a prayer of blessing, Psalms 5. There's a prayer in the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 14:14 and 15. Those are just a few examples. Just a few examples. The idea of prayer covers everything. There is nothing outside of prayer. There is nothing too small, too big, too hard, too easy that prayer will not make things better, right? It makes things more complete. So we know that the early church believed in prayer, that they lived a faith where prayer was a defining trait of who they were. See, the early church, it was like, oh, those are those followers of Jesus. They're known for prayer, not the repetitive prayer. And Jesus really taught about that. Don't be like this guy who just repeats the prayers, but have that conversation. That's what they were known for. Boy, I would love for... Did I just die a little bit? I would love for the modern day church to be known as a, forgive this word, a religion of prayer, right? Because religion, it's something totally different. But what if we were actually known as a people of prayer? How could you get mad at that, right? Of course, others will get mad about that. That'll make them even more mad, because the more we pray, the more conviction comes upon this world, the more opportunities we have, the more we want to speak Jesus. Did you know the more we pray, the more bold we get? So the world gets a little mad about that. But man, even if they're mad, if they would just be like, man, those are those guys that just pray all the time. And it, I know this happens. It just chaps my hide that we have to go to Planned Parenthood and see all these people walking around praying. That makes them angry, right? Makes them angry because of the conviction that comes into their life. But wouldn't it be awesome to be known as a people of prayer? To have that as a defining trait of who we are? Paul reminds us and encourages us in our prayer life in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, 16 through 18. Rejoice always and delight in your faith. Be unceasing and persistent in prayer. In every situation, no matter what the circumstance, be thankful and continually give thanks to God, for this is the will of God for you in Jesus Christ. Amen. Rejoice always. Rejoice always. That's kind of sounds kind of refreshing, doesn't it? Ooh, I'd like to rejoice always. Always? No, it says so always, like all the time I'm supposed to rejoice. And boy, if I could get to a place like that, that would be so refreshing. To be able to rejoice in our ups and our downs, both, right? We like to rejoice in our ups. We don't always rejoice in our downs. We rejoice in our victories. Sounds good. As well as our tribulations. Not so good. I want to wallow in my pity when it comes to tribulations. Wallowing in my pity is quite different than rejoicing. Rejoice always, because our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Yeah, that's right.
And because we can openly communicate with our God. Shouldn't we rejoice about that? Gosh, all these people that are confused in all these false religions, and it's all about works and good deeds, and they can never truly have a conversation with the perceived small g God that they serve. How awful would that be? Man, what makes somebody want to follow that when there's something so much better? It's like, man, come and meet my God. What do you mean meet your God? What do I have to do that? Who do I pay? What works do I... You don't have to do anything. You don't have to believe it. You don't even have to believe in him at first. All you got to do is cry out, start a conversation, and he'll begin to speak to you, and he will show you what it takes and all these great things. What an awesome thing. We should be able to rejoice always simply because we can communicate with the Most High God, the creator of all things, the one who knew us before we were ever born. The one who loves us so much. And we are to rejoice in our prayers, right? We should rejoice when we pray, because you're praying. You're talking to Jesus. Delight in our faith. See, delight means to take great pleasure in, to be joyful and excited. Are you excited about your faith? Are you excited about the times you can spend in prayer? Or is it like, oh my gosh, yeah, I guess I'm supposed to. And now pastor just spoke a whole message on prayer, and now I feel guilty, and I guess I have to. And my goodness, that doesn't sound like delight. That doesn't sound like joy. That sounds terrible. That sounds horrible. God wants to free us from that bondage and say, man, just get with me. Just get with me. Sometimes when we sin and we're like, I know I got to repent, and we're so scared to repent, and we don't want to get before God because we feel like we disappointed him, and what's he going to say to us, and all this different stuff. So we try not to pray. We try not to approach him. Oh, I got to be over here. That's not delighting. That's not having joy. That's being in bondage. But I'll tell you what, the second that we open up that conversation, what happens?
Freedom.
All that junk goes away. And freedom comes into our life, because we're convening with the only one that can truly lead us to healing and to freedom. Listen to this. You may not always be there, right, in this fellowship with God, this joyful delight. You may not always be there, But prayer will always take you there. It will always take you there. So Paul is saying, hey, you know what you need to do? You need to pray always. And then we get people who pervert this text and make it something weird and make it unattainable and things like that. But when Paul is saying pray always, he's not saying chant these memorized prayers. But rather he's saying to carry on an ongoing conversation with God all day long. See, I've said this before, when you wake up in the morning, you should just, before you get out of bed, just, good morning, Jesus. Good morning. And Lord, help me to have a good day. Help me to have a day where I can bless you continually. And then don't say amen, because whenever we say amen, it's like, oh, the prayer's over, right? You don't say amen because the prayer continues from the moment you wake up to the moment you sleep. Right, so there's an ongoing conversation all day long. Boy, if we took that mentality and thought, I'm going to just speak to God all day long, I'm going to converse with Him all day long, how might that change everything? Yeah. You know, when we're driving and somebody cuts us off, if we're having an ongoing conversation with God, we'll probably react a whole lot differently. And that one person wrongs you at your work, and we're going to probably react a whole lot differently. And then it's like, oh God, grant me divine opportunities today. Amen. But you're having an ongoing conversation. So it's like God saying, oh, I'm going to grant you ongoing opportunities. You don't have to pray for it, because we're communicating, because we have an open conversation, because it hasn't ended. I'm going to continually speak to you today. And I'm going to show you things. And I'm going to put people in your life. And you know why He's going to put people in your life? Because you got an ongoing conversation going on. You've got ears to hear. You know, half the time God doesn't place divine opportunities in our life because we're so busy doing other things. And if He spoke with a text, we probably still wouldn't hear Him because we're so focused over here. When we take the idea that we're going to have that ongoing conversation with God, to pray always, to pray all day long, we're in that mode. Jesus, what is going on? Yeah, Jesus, we just thank Him. Man, people look at us and they're like, man, that guy's crazy. Who's he even talking to? Why is he so happy all the time? What is going on? And so, man, I just thank Jesus for this and that. You don't have to get weird about it, right? But we need to do it. Paul says so. Probably be a good thing to understand and to pursue. And we're to be thankful to God in every situation, every single situation in our life. We are to be thankful for God. Because again, it's all about Jesus. It's all about our relationship with the King. See, within the hardships of our life, it's still about Jesus and our relationship and our reliance upon Him. Even in the great times, oh, life is going good, nothing's broken, my joints all feel good, right? I got enough food, things are just great. We can crowd Jesus out of that. But we need to rejoice in that, because He's providing in this season. But that's not every single season. And then look at what Paul says in this passage. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. That's a big statement by Paul right there. He just said all these things to rejoice and to delight in our faith, to be unceasing and persistent in our prayers. In every situation, no matter the circumstances, be thankful and continually give thanks to God. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Huge statement here. It's like, well, I just don't know what the will of God in my life is. That's it. The will of God in our life is to convene with Him. So what is God's plan for you? What is His will? To have a personal relationship with Jesus that you carry out through conversation all day long. It's that simple. That's what God's will is. You need to pray God's will. I think we can have an understanding of God's will right there. This is so exciting to me. to be able to preach this message to you guys, because you know, one-on-one we can talk about prayer and things like that, and there's an expectancy of prayer and service and things like that, but to really dig deep in here, this is so exciting because of the possibilities. Oh, the possibilities. If we are a people, a church, a body of believers that commits themselves to prayer. So now you point to the person next to you, them too, all of us in here are faced with evaluating our own prayer life. You knew we were getting here. It's like, oh, pastor's got an easy message today. We're just going to talk about prayer, and it's going to feel good to talk about prayer, and then we're just going to pray a little bit in church, and then we're going to go along with our lives and things. I don't work that way, if you know me. Because we have to have a challenge, don't we? And we are challenged right now with evaluating our own prayer life. And I could, but I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. Instead, we are going to look at the wonderful possibilities. So let me introduce you to Jello. I wish you were on the drums, because I would say let's do a drum roll. But let me introduce you to the Prayer Bridge Challenge. The Bridge Prayer Challenge. Pray for me that I can read. See, it's that drum roll made me nervous. At least I heard it in my head. The Bridge Prayer Challenge. No matter the current health of your prayer life right now, this morning, this instant, this past week, this past month, this past year, this is all about challenging and expanding yourself. You guys up for a challenge?
Yeah.
A couple of you are. And that's exciting because where two or three are gathered, right? And I believe just a few people fervently praying can change everything. But what happens when an entire church commits to prayer? Think of the things that could change. Now, if you would say, if you would be honest with yourself and you would say that your prayer life is a little sparse right now, or maybe it's non-existent right now, I'm going to challenge you to challenge yourself to set aside 15 minutes every day for prayer. Is 15 minutes too much? Man, when we started 24-hour prayer, people were like, you want us to sign up for like a full hour? What am I going to do for a full hour? I remember that distinctively when we started the 24-hour prayer, and that Sunday, that next Sunday after it had ended, people were like, oh my gosh, an hour wasn't long enough. It just wasn't long enough. Is there any way I could sign up for 2 hours next time? Absolutely. This last 24-hour prayer, we had a couple stay for 4 hours. That's a long time to pray. What would you pray? Well, how could you pray for 4 hours? Seriously. Well, it's pretty easy when we enter into that ongoing conversation. So I don't know that it's a challenge to challenge yourself to pray every day for 15 minutes if your prayer life is sparse right now, right? Now, if you're already praying for an hour a day, don't challenge yourself to pray for 15 minutes a day. That's going backwards. See, because on the other end of the spectrum, let's say that your current prayer life is active and it's strong, right? Maybe you are praying for 30, 45, 60 minutes. Maybe it's 2 hours a day. You're praying that much. I challenge you to challenge yourself to take it to the next level. What might that look like? It's not just adding time sometimes, right? Sometimes it's getting with other people and saying, hey, man, my prayer life is pretty healthy on my own, but maybe the challenge I'm going to take is to expand it, pray for and with other people. Maybe you'll say, hey, pastor, can you unlock the church at this time during the day, because I've got a group of people that have committed to come in and to pray. So it's about challenging yourself, taking it to the next level. And here's what we will do. Here's what we'll do. Each person, when we close today and we enter back into worship, each person can come up here. Yeah, I said come up here. We're not going to make it easy. We're not passing it out at the door and have them, you know, tossed about. You gotta actually make the effort. You can come up here. You can grab this. It says the Bridge Prayer Challenge Commitment Card. Right? It's the commitment card. And here's the deal. It just says, so it says, in making a priority of prayer in my life, I am committing to blank. There's a blank right there. You can fill in what, 15 minutes, an hour, this, that, or the other. For the next 49 days, I will challenge myself in my devotion to prayer. I will pray like my life depends upon it. I will set aside time to pray and will protect that time. I will not give up. And then there's this line right here. You know what that's for? You sign it. And then you turn it into me, and we'll come to your house and make... No, that's not how we do things. Then you take this card and you stick it somewhere. You're going to see it every single day. I don't know where that is. Maybe it's on the toilet seat. Maybe it's on the mirror. Maybe it's in your car. Maybe it's in your Bible. Hopefully it's in your Bible because you open up your Bible every day. But you got it. And this is, again, a commitment between you and God. That's what it is. We're not going to police you. We're not going to do any of that. We're going to encourage you. But it's between you and God, and God saying amen if that's what it takes to be able to convene with this person, to be able to converse with this person, so this person can get to know me that much more. I believe God is all for it. Principle number 11, prayer. The early church didn't need prayer commitment cards. They just didn't need it. It was part of their DNA. It was their lifestyle, right? But we've evolved from that. We've distanced ourselves from that so that we now, as a body of believers, we need little things like this. So here's the deal. We're gonna put these all up here. When we close, you come up and get them. Prayerfully consider what you write down. Right? Be careful there, because if you're like, okay, God, I gotta fill this out. How much do you want me to pray in a day, God? How much do you want me to commit to? God's not going to be like, well, I would say 5 minutes, but how about 3? He's not going to negotiate that. You ask God, he's going to be like, all day long? Okay. Can I fit that in there? I'm committing to pray all day long. And what we're doing here is we're just trying to help everybody understand the importance of prayer. To commit to pray. Because if we continue to do it, if we commit for this time period, we're going to see stuff happen. You guys are going to be coming to me with these amazing stories, and we're going to see God begin to move in ways that really we haven't seen him move before. And what that does is now that commitment becomes a habit, right? Habits aren't always bad. To enter into a habit of prayer means, man, you're diligent on it. It's just part of your lifestyle, right? It's like drinking coffee. Man, half you guys get up in the morning and you drink coffee. You don't even like it. But it's a habit that you're in. And we need to substitute coffee with prayer. And no one said, amen. But it's one of those things, as we continue to do it day after day, it becomes more normal to us. But not only that, we begin to see the benefit of it. We begin to crave it. So if there's a morning you get up and it's like, man, I'm committed to pray 45 minutes in the morning before work, and something happens and you don't have that prayer time, the rest of your day you're going to be like, oh my gosh, today stinks. I'm really understanding why prayer is so important. So what we're going to do is we're going to run this prayer commitment through the end of the year. This is where I was talking about that some of you are going to be like, wow, pastor's really got everything planned out. He must have planned this out all year long. This is amazing. Boy, he's organized. No, this was all Holy Spirit inspired. We're going to pray for a week of weeks. Do you know what a week of weeks is? 7 times 7. 7 times 7 is 49. 49 days starting now will take us to December 31st. So we're going to commit to pray. That means, yes, you have to make your commitment and start today. Today is the day you start. Don't man, I went to church. We all prayed, right? We're not going to coast there. You're going to commit. You're going to pray. You're going to pray today. You're going to start tomorrow. You're going to pray for 49 days, a week of weeks. And then that is going to bring us day 50, which happens to be on a Sunday. See how organized I am? Day 5th, January 1st, is on a Sunday. Yeah, pretty amazing, huh? Yeah, the Holy Spirit, thank you, Lord, for doing this. I honestly wondered, it's like, okay, God, why aren't we doing a principle of prayer? Shouldn't that be the number one principle? Well, no, because that wouldn't work out, right? And then it's like, I kind of knew where we needed to go, and God kind of said, no, principle number 11 is prayer. So the 50th day, we're going to come back together. We're going to start 2023 with a habit of prayer. Yeah. We're gonna walk into that. And you can bet, I don't know how January 1st is going to look out. I'm not that organized. Look like I'm I don't know what it'll look like. I don't know how it will, what the service is going to look like. But I know through now until then, we're going to start to hear some amazing testimonies. And because of our commitment, and because of our steadfastness in this time of prayer, I am expecting something amazing on January 1st. The fact that we'll all be able to gather together. Now think about it. This, we're going to be dedicating ourselves to prayer through this holiday season. Thanksgiving. Now, don't talk about religion or politics at Thanksgiving meals, right? But what if we're bathed in prayer and the Holy Spirit guides us in that? How amazing is that going to be? And then we lead up to Christmas. Everybody's thinking about Christmas. Half the people, more than half the people, have no idea what Christmas is really about. We're going to be bathed in prayer. We're going to have a Christmas Eve service here. We're going to do a candlelight Christmas Eve service here again. And it's going to be powerful. Do you know why? Because the congregation has bathed itself in prayer. Personal as well as corporate prayer. Are you guys up for the challenge? Does that sound good? I hope so, because I am so excited. How many times does January 1st land on a Sunday? Not very many, because the leap year and all that, it always is changing, so it's not even one in 7 years. And how many times do we get to start a week of weeks prayer challenge? It's amazing. It's I totally believe God is doing all of this. So God's doing his part. Now we need to do our part. Amen. Worship team, come on up here. Come on up here. We are going to worship, like I said. We're going to get this out of the way. I got plenty. If you're listening online and because of where you live, you can't attend church here, just write down your own prayer challenge, right? Listen back, write it down, what it says. Make your own. Fill it in and please pray with us. If you're just online today because you're sick or you just didn't want to come to church today, you need to get one of these so you can get it next week. But begin your prayer challenge right now. If you're here today and you have a spouse or kids or a family member that aren't here for whatever reason today, you can take one for them, right? Right? Because we want as many people as we can. If we run out of these, I'll print more. But we only need one. And we need to have it in a place where we can see it every day. Because that's who we are. We'll forget things. We'll get busy. We'll try to disregard it. We'll make excuses. We don't want to do any of those things. And yes, you have to walk up here and you have to grab it. If you walk up here and grab it and you feel compelled to hang out at the altar, just kind of spread out just a little bit. If you feel compelled to pray with somebody or for somebody, don't let this time escape. Like I said, my prayer is always nobody leaves here the same way that they came in. Let's leave here today as a body of believers who are committed to prayer. Amen? I'm going to pray. We're going to worship. You're going to come and get these. You're going to fill them out. If I see any in the parking lot, oh, I'm going to be so mad. Not because it's littering. Who cares? I'll pick up the trash all day long. It's because we're not taking prayer in our life serious. Father, Lord, help us. Help us in our unbelief. Help us in our faith. Help us in our understanding of what you consider prayer to be. Lord God, impress upon us the importance, your desire to be with us. Lord God, so many people want to be wanted, and they overlook the fact that you want us so bad. You just want to spend time with us. You just want to converse with us. So Lord God, as simple and ridiculous it is to have a prayer challenge and to fill out cards, Lord God, if this is your leading and this is the way you teach us to be more effective prayer people, then Lord God, we welcome it. Correct us, convict us, challenge us. But Lord, most of all, converse with us. That's our desire. We pray this in and through the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our friend, Jesus Christ, the famous one, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And everyone said, amen. I have an excitement and an expectation, right? And it's an excitement and an expectation, not just simply of what God's going to accomplish, because we don't just seek what God does. We don't seek His signs and His wonders. We seek God Himself. So I'm excited, and I have an expectancy that more people are going to connect with God on a deeper level, a personal, deeper level. And as a pastor, there's nothing more that I want. There is nothing more that I want. So commit. Commit and make it happen. Parents, grandparents, if you're here today, what a great thing to enter in with your child. Grab an extra one. Let them fill it out. Teach them to start praying 5 minutes a day or 10 minutes a day. It's amazing. So parents, I would encourage you to do that. I'll have more next week for people that weren't here. But go with God. Enter into a relationship and a conversation with God and see where that leads. Amen. Amen.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10 o'clock a.m. at Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information about Bridge Assembly, go to bridgehelena.com, and we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Jason Metz.